This is the Golf Talk podcast brought to you by thesandtrap.com, episode 25. I'm Eric Barzeski in Pennsylvania. Jeff Smith is joining me as always from Washington. Hello.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm doing excellent. It's, you know, it's raining outside, so
that,
not
you live in Washington. I think you're totally used to that by now.
Yeah, well.
Fortunately, it didn't rain yesterday. I got to play Oakland Hills, so.
Nice.
I started off well. Then Donald Ross came along and kicked my ass.
That Donald Ross.
No, it was a good fight. Back and forth kind of day. The FedEx Cup could have been a good fight if some players had held it together. Jeff Maggart finally, you know, kicked it into gear and holed some putts and shot a 65 in the final round. Everybody else shot 71, 72, really didn't surge ahead. But the big discussion this week is not whether Jeff Maggart deserved to win or whether how he won or anything like that. It's whether Tom Pernice cheated, basically. Jeff, what's the story here?
Well, as I was watching last weekend, and a lot of us were, as he addressed the putt, the ball moved. He set the putter down to address the ball, and the ball obviously, well, at least in my view, moved a little. And there's some debate now on whether or not Tom Pernice Jr. knew that happened, but the rules official came and didn't confront him, but asked him about it. Do you believe the ball changed? And Pernice's response was, well, if you say it did, then it did. It was what I saw on TV, but...
He pretty much said, I didn't even notice.
Right.
You know, I mean, he kind of talked about it. From the video, it's obvious that the ball moves. The rules official decided it settled back into its original place, which would not be a penalty, but it did move. Whether it wobbled or whether it moved and rolled over a dimple or two is still in question. To me, it looked like it moved.
Yeah.
And stayed in a different place. Whether it just moved a dimple or two, it didn't look like it settled back in. I think it moved.
Well,
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, it surprises me that Tom Pernice Jr. didn't feel it. I mean, which one of us...
feel it, yeah.
Yeah, we're on the green, we feel it. That happens to me. I know what happened.
Yeah. I've done it before. If the ball settles back in, it's no problem. It looks dumb. You look like a moron for touching the ball, but no penalty. If it moves, that's a penalty stroke. And you have technically have to replace the ball then, though I don't think many people do that. So, you know, really kind of put a sour note on this whole thing with Tom. He was looking down at the ball. He wasn't, like, looking at the hole when he set his putter down, so he probably even saw it, let alone felt it. I don't know. He knows the truth somewhere deep inside of him, I believe. And
yeah, this is going to be one of those classic examples of we're never going to know what his true take is on it, unless he, you know, decides to become an angel all of a sudden.
Unlikely. Michelle Wee, her qualifier is Monday, a couple days from now. She's paired with Rick Hartman and good old David Gossett. Is she going to beat these players in her threesome? Will she finish in her threesome? What do you think?
Well, I think the best chance she has is beating Hartman. But well, I don't know. The way that
he made the cut in the 2000 Open and finished 46th, so he's no slouch. And that was a brutal Open at Pebble Beach, so he's no slouch.
Well, one of the articles that we have here talks about her practice round, and things didn't sound like they were going too well for young Michelle Wee.
Yeah, she's playing on the shorter, narrower course at Canoebrook of the two, so we'll be interested to see that. Do you want to change what you said last week? You said she'd finish about 80th. I did you one better and said she'd finish about 96th. I've had a chance to look over the field that's attempting to qualify at Canoebrook. Not all that strong. You know, a lot of club pros, a lot of nationwide tour players, some older PGA Tour pros who, you know, if they have a decent game, will manage to get the best score out of it that they can. But 22 out of 138. I think her odds of getting there are a little bit better. I'm not going to go back on what I said or anything like that. I'll stick with my 96, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But if I could do it over again, I'd bump her up to maybe 50th. I think she'll do better than half the people there maybe now. But
I don't think she'll get in.
No, right. But I think I would improve her odds if I could redo it again. But otherwise, I'll stick with my 96, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
I was shooting from the hip last week, and I'm going to stay that way this week. 88.
Okay. We'll be right back after this ad from Titleist and Chip Shots from Golf Gods. Stay with us.
When you get in a fairway bunker, choke up on the club a little bit, and I like to aim for the top of the ball.
On long bunker shots, flatten your swing.
You want to feel down in the sand, and then use your instincts.
When you get a plug lie, all you want to do is take a steeper swing and explode down on the ball.
If you want to hit a punch shot, play the ball back in your stance.
When you're in the rough, you're going to want to hit a cut.
One more tip. Trust your Titleist.
You can learn a lot from the world's best players.
From the studios of GolfGods.com in Minneapolis, this is Chip Shots, a weekly look at golf equipment news brought to you by the staff of GolfGods.com, the official online pro shop of thesandtrap.com.
Can 50 get you 300? There's value and then there's value. Let me explain. The InTech Yellow Jacket driver is a 460cc driver with max core and a 60-gram high-modulus Matrix MT regular flex shaft. Available in limited options, and by limited, I mean 10-degree loft only in left- and right-handed models, the cost? A measly $50. If you've been suffering with an outdated, undersized driver, and if you're the type of golfer who struggles to justify to your spouse dropping $300 on the latest technology, this club might work out great for you. It's sharp-looking with a crisp yellow and black wrap-style grip and matching head cover. The performance? Truly, you do get a lot of bang for the buck. Not only will it look good in the bag, it will offer the forgiveness of an oversized driver, and with the max core, you're bound to add a few yards off the tee. The InTech Yellow Jacket driver is available to view in the Father's Day buying guide at golfgods.com, or follow the links in this week's show notes. Now back to this week's podcast.
Appreciate that word from our sponsors. As always, our chip shot segment. The hot topic this week on the PGA Tour is, of course, the furrowed bunkers at the Memorial. Nicholas has, you know, come to the forefront of a real important issue right now. Is the game getting away from us? Perhaps one of the ways that people are reining it in, or will rein it in the future, is by having these furrowed bunkers. Eric, you had a chance to look at these firsthand. What'd you see?
I saw players bitching and whining and moaning, as they do when conditions aren't perfect for them on the PGA Tour. But at the same time, a lot of guys were saying, hey, it's an experiment. Golf course is the same for everybody, and I'm going to go out and play the golf course, which is all they can do week to week. As a junior golfer, I always liked playing matches against people when it was raining, because the rain was going to be the same for both of us, but I knew that that guy would be thinking about it more than I would be. So I felt it gave me an advantage. And it really, I've seen a lot of separation this week between the players that are complaining about the bunkers and people that are winners on the PGA Tour, or people that have their stuff together, so to speak, and really look at it in that way. So that's the first thing that's impressive to me, the players that say, hey, it's the same golf course for everybody, so I'm just going to go out and try to do my best. But on the other side of things, obviously it is a big thing, because players are used to having good conditions. I saw bunker shots without spin, so missing it on the short side is really going to be very penal this week, because you're not going to be able to stop the ball near the hole. Missing it on the far side, you're still fine, because you play a running bunker shot there anyway. Missing it in fairway bunkers, Ian Poulter said he'd give guys a 2 in 10 chance of getting it on the green from the fairway bunkers, when before, you could still fire at the flag. So certainly a big thing, mostly on the fairways, a little bit on the greens if you short-sighted yourself. And I like it. I've called for furrowed bunkers or whatnot before on this very show, so I like it. I think it's a good thing, and I hope it continues.
A couple of things in line with what you're saying. I noticed that a couple of players, Sean O'Hare, Phil Mickelson, played really good rounds. They didn't have such problem with the bunkers. It'll be interesting to see what their response is, say, at the end of the weekend, after they've spent a little time hacking out of this new bunker situation. I'm reminded of Jim Furyk a few weeks back, winning playoff over Trevor Immelman at the Wachovia Championship. Jim had blocked his drive to the right, landed in a fairway bunker, and put it extremely close. So he put it in the hazard, and he played it as if it was just
better
in
than
the fairway.
Or better than the rough, at least, yeah.
Yeah, so I think, you know, the furrowed bunkers place a premium on putting the ball in the fairway again and avoiding these.
Jack Nicklaus said he overheard a player in the locker room saying, well, the rough's really tough, so I don't want to hit it there. The bunkers are furrowed, so I don't want to hit it there. What are we supposed to aim at? And his response was, how about the fairways and the greens?
Yeah.
So one interesting note too was Jack always has said all week that he called the PGA Tour and they said the honeymoon is over. That's a message that they had relayed to PGA Tour players all year. The PGA Tour players, to a man, have all said, I don't know, we haven't heard anything from the tour about that. So either the PGA Tour players are not really listening to a lot of things, or the PGA Tour really hasn't made it known that this may be kind of a going forward kind of thing. I hope to see it more times this year. I don't know whether we will, and I guess we'll find out. It's interesting to see how this plays out this week. I saw Ernie Els yesterday hit a bunker, greenside bunker in 2 on a par 5, and make bogey, because he kind of fluffed his bunker shot into the rough, chipped it 6 feet past, and missed the putt. So certainly having an effect already. We'll be right back, though, after this.
In the heat of competition, you should really stick to your go-to shot. For me, that's a tight little draw.
Copy your practice swing and don't think about results.
Just take your time, keep everything nice and slow.
When I'm under pressure, I think about my kids.
I think of my kid too.
Keep it simple, play one shot at a time.
Don't be tentative, stay real aggressive.
Make sure and drink lots of water.
Concentrate on concentrating.
Don't think too much.
Just remember to breathe.
And don't panic.
And one more tip,
trust your Titleist.
You can learn a lot from the world's best players.
And welcome back. This week, our Beating Balls segment kicks off with Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player. They've been named captains once again for the President's Cup. Smart move, dumb move, tired, bring in some new people. Your thoughts?
I don't even know if it matters. I mean, obviously the warm fuzzy story is the two have the match at a previous President's Cup, and there was a lot of love between both groups because of it, but I don't know if it makes a difference. I mean, you know, it's a good sentimental choice. Nicholas and Player back there again doing it, and both of them, I assume, do a fair job, but, you know, it's the players that got to get out there and do it.
I say we bring in some new people. Let's get Nick Price in as a captain. Let's get some of the other older guys in there as captains for the international squad, of course. Have a player's captain. I don't know. It's Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player. They're clinging on here. They don't have an effect on the outcome, really. They're just kind of there. And frankly, I'm a little tired of seeing and hearing about Jack. He's done playing golf. I don't need him captaining a team either. So let's just get some fresh blood. You know, nothing against Jack. But I mean, the President's Cup is, you know, what are they going to do when one of them doesn't want to do it and the other one does?
Well, I kind of thought it was odd that they chose them again. I kind of think this kind of thing lends itself to picking new captains.
Yeah, like the Ryder Cup. It's a little prestigious and certainly more people than Jack Nicklaus deserve some prestige, especially from around the world. President's Cup's a new thing. There are a lot of older international players that didn't get a chance to play in the President's Cup. Let's make some of them captains, just to, you know, throw them a little bone and say, hey, we appreciate what you did back in the day. Tiger Woods practicing at the U.S. Open. Where will he finish?
Where's Tiger Woods going to finish? He's going to finish at least in the top 15, I think. He's going to come out and play well.
Give me a number.
He will finish 12.
12. Okay, way down there.
I'm
going with one. One.
You're a believer.
Yeah, we'll see. This is one of those things where I wish people would just listen when Tiger Woods talks. He says, I'm probably not going to play till the U.S. Open. And then they're all like, oh, is he going to play the Memorial? No, he already told you. Ooh, he might skip the U.S. Open. No, he's not going to. He told you already. No surprise here. He's been practicing and trying to prepare himself for the U.S. Open at Wingfoot. Great. We knew that 2 months ago when he told us. So.
Yeah, and he makes the official announcement, and then it's all a relief to everyone.
Royal Precision, makers of Flighted and Project X shafts, have shut down. Suddenly, just out of nowhere.
Suddenly, just shut things down. The word on the street, I heard some buzz saying that True Temper's picked up some of their shafts, so that it sounds to me like we still have a maker for those who love Royal Precision Golf shafts.
Well, hopefully. I mean, True Temper is the 900-pound gorilla in the steel shaft industry, but Project X and the Flighted Royal Precision's products are in play on the PGA Tour. They're in play in a lot of bags. TaylorMade's Rack Muscleback TP irons come stock with a Flighted shaft from Rifle. Phil Mickelson, like I said, plays Project X, as do a number of other PGA Tour players. So just suddenly, poof, we're done.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see what happens there. I mean, True Temper, if they pick it up, it's a virtual monopoly. Okay. But it's funny, too, because True Temper just came out with their Black Gold, which is their stepless steel shaft, just this year. So now they might have two, or they may merge them into one, or who knows what they'll do, but there it is.
Well, they've been popular enough to warrant continuing to manufacture.
John Daly is having an influence on the LPGA Tour here, Jeff, or what?
Well, it looks that way. We have this gal, Cindy Rorick, who's earned quite a bit of money. She's won more than $2 million in her career, and she was picked up in a drunken stupor here recently.
She's 47. Is she still playing golf on the LPGA Tour?
Well, I didn't see any indication that she was.
Yeah, she's 47. She won the Corning Classic in 1987, and that's that. Okay, this isn't really golf news, so. Except that someone who used to play golf is now drunk and arrested. So
yeah.
Michelle, you were alluding to this earlier, but she's been practicing and playing at Canoe Brook. David Ledbetter feels confident, but how confident can he really be? Like you said, she's kind of driving it all over the lot. So,
well, she's obviously his student. He's gonna have confidence in her. At least he's gonna say that when people ask him. And like I say, he feels like he's confident. He's confident in her. She's gonna get out there. She's gonna do well. She's got a great chance. You know, you read kind of how she does, and there aren't many indications.
Well, it says here.
She's going to do well.
It says here, her frustration seemed to peak at the 212-yard par 3 7th, where she took 5 shots off the tee. Her first finish on the adjacent 6th fairway, 3 of the next 4 landed short and left in a greenside bunker. The other went over the green. Give her a day or so, Ledbetter said. She hit a lot of good shots, too. Yeah, like probably 87 of them, so.
Right. I had a few good shots myself, so doesn't mean I'm qualifying.
What's this? Tiger Woods is making fun of Bill Clinton, eh?
He sure is. Tiger Woods calls it interesting math. He went golfing with former President Bill Clinton. He recounts one hole when Clinton hit one out of bounds, hit another off the tee, and he carded Woods for Clint 3. Apparently, Woods got a good laugh off of this when he was retelling it, but it kind of indicates what we already knew about President Clinton's honesty on the golf course.
Enough said about that.
which apparently
it's pretty bad. Yeah. It took a 3. Maybe if Michelle Wee had that scorekeeping method, she'd qualify for the U.S. Open.
Maybe he said something like, "I did not hit that ball out of bounds."
Right. Could you define the definition of is? John Daly is struggling here, but his book is selling well.
John Daly not having the greatest year, but yeah, his book's doing awesome. Number 9 on the top seller list.
Wonder how much money he's making off this, and whether he'll gamble it all away.
Yeah, he's making a pretty penny off it. What I found interesting was to read about his dad here. He wasn't even sure if his dad had read it. And as John's playing a round of golf, his dad's following along, and the person doing the interview is finding out that, yes, his dad has read the book, and it's not very complimentary to him. But John is a chip off the old block, it sounds like.
A big chip at that.
That's right.
Bonehead Play of the Year. Mina Lee qualified for the U.S. Women's Open, but forgot to send in her registration form, and thus is not eligible to play. Oh, what's up with this?
That's a major, major mistake.
Literally.
She has an exemption to play the U.S. Open, but she doesn't email her application in. She has the option of emailing it or mailing it, and doesn't do either, therefore she can't play.
You can send your registration in months in advance, even if you're not qualified, because they'll just throw it out if you're not qualified. If you happen to qualify yourself, then you've submitted it. I guess she was not looking forward to qualifying, so she didn't send in her registration. Last up, head covers. Do you have the standard ones, or do you have like a horse's butt like this one here?
I don't have the horse's arse. I do have the Caddyshack Gopher on my driver, and then I have a standard stock cover on my 3-wood and a stock cover on my hybrid.
Yeah, we're going to link to this article, which Jack Waddell wrote for the Bag Drop, but I like they're called butt head covers, whatever you want to say it, but they're basically the rear end of animals instead of the heads, and I just wonder how big head covers have to be to fit like a 460cc driver in them. You know,
it's a big butt.
These head covers were fine and dandy when drivers were 200cc. They were pretty small. They didn't take up the entire top of your bag. Now they're so big that, you know, any kind of ornamental design just takes up even more room. So, I don't know. I have all the stock head covers, you know, the ones that came with the clubs. And maybe I'm cheap. Maybe I just don't want to pay for them. Maybe it helps me tell them apart when they're all sitting against the wall. I don't know. But, yeah, I got all the stock ones. So, anyway.
Well, I'd be in favor of the Rocket Tour, the knitted head covers. Those look pretty sweet.
Well, you should get them then.
They're coming.
All right. Well, that does it for episode 25 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by the Sand Trap.com. For Jess Smith in Washington, this is Eric Borzeski saying goodbye, and we'll talk to you next week.